Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, we'll read down through verse 6. Now faith, and we know that this is Faith Promise Sunday, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mission conference. We thank you for those who have come and shared with us their burdens and their call to foreign lands. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, protect them, encourage them. And Lord, we ask that you would give them much fruit for their labor. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for those who give to the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and as we mentioned, Faith Promise Sunday, you have the commitment papers there in your bulletin. We're not really hoping that you have already signed it, but if you have, then you've already prayed about it. But we are desiring to encourage you not to grow weary in the work of God, to continue to serve Him with your finances. And as we will mention at some point in time, if not, not we'll mention it now, but maybe later, this is a commitment that you have between you and the Lord. Nobody will ever ask you for it. It's just simply a way that we know how to budget our mission money by knowing how much money can be expected to come in over the next year from March to March. And we ask that you do this after you have prayed, after you have sought the Lord's direction in this commitment. But faith is, the word faith is a noun. A noun, as you know, is a person, place, or thing. We know that faith can be someone that can be seen in someone, but faith is a thing. And we have faith in many things. How many of you had faith this morning that there was hot water in your hot water tank? Yes? None of you, I doubt, went downstairs to see if the pilot light was on. None of you went down to see if there was water in the tank. You had faith that there was hot water in the hot water tank. And that's usually okay unless you have teenagers. But let me ask you this, when you get a Crown Royal or a Pepsi or a Coke, do you expect to find cola in that bottle or can? You do, don't you? Yes. If you get Faygo Cola, you expect to find cola. Now, you might be pleasantly surprised if it was Rock and Rye, but you expect it to be cola. You expect green beans in your green bean can. Yes, green beans should be in your green bean can. You expect to find gasoline in the gasoline pump. Correct? That's what you expect. May I say this? You expect to find money in your paycheck. Yes. You expect to find preach in your preacher. Yes. And you expect to find salvation in the words of Christ. It is finished. He had completed the task. Faith. And we need to have faith. Number two, it says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Maybe you have a yearly evaluation at work. And maybe they bring you into the office and maybe they sit you down and they ask you some questions and then they tell you what they think of you. And you hope for a good report. I worked for the Ford Motor Company all of 27 days. They couldn't handle me after that. They laid me off. But you know why I got laid off? I was laid off because they brought back a man that the Ford Motor Company had fired three times. Three times Ford had fired him and the union kept bringing him back. And I say to this, I am not bitter about that because I was going back to college anyways, but I only got to work 27 days. But we find he didn't have a good report. We should have a good report. You've been to the doctor. The other day, the doctor wanted me to come in for something that, well, never mind, it's just personal. And when I got there, they said, well, it's time for you to have a physical. Was I excited about that? Do you think that I got all excited and got goose pimples and thought, I can't wait? May I say this? I did not sign up for that physical yet. I'm thinking about it. Yes. But if you go for a health checkup, do you want to have a good report? Absolutely. Maybe if your car is inspected, you maybe get it ready for a winter, or maybe you're going on a vacation and you want to make sure it's all fixed up so you get the best gas mileage, your tires are pumped up, and you have new spark plugs or whatever else needs to be done. You want a car inspection that tells you this car is ready to go all the way to wherever you're going. You want a good report. Those mentioned in Hebrews 11 were given a good report. They received A's on their report card. Thank God for the remnant that serves and follows the Lord. Thank God for those who were willing to be called by His holy name, to serve on the foreign field, but also to serve in your neighborhoods, in your place of employment, in your family. We find very interesting verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke it, and He knew it would be done. He spoke it and the universe came into existence. He spoke it and stars lit up. He spoke it and planets were created. He spoke and we find it was by His word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spake and it was done. Psalm 33 verses 6 and 9. He spoke. Evolution is a lie. It is a reason to excuse your sins because God didn't create us. We were here by chance. But God spoke it because He knew when He spoke it would happen. But we're going to look at a couple of different men here. One named Abel and another named Enoch. We find in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered. He offered a sacrifice. Remember that Cain and Abel both were going to give a sacrifice to the Lord. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, maybe green beans, maybe melon, maybe watermelon. He brought the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought a lamb. Which one did the Lord want, the lamb or the fruit of the ground? He wanted the lamb, a picture of a coming lamb, that of Jesus Christ. God is not interested in our religion. He wants us to follow His teaching. His teaching. By faith, Abel offered. Are we offering what the Lord wants? Or are we offering what we want? Do we offer what he wants or what we are willing to give? Quite often there's a difference. God wants us to give ourselves wholly, totally. But so often we give him what's left over. We give him a little section of ourselves. But Abel offered himself, and he was willing to give, as it were, a more excellent sacrifice. He had this testimony. Now, that's a very important word, I believe, in Christianity, a testimony. I believe one of the problems that we have in America today is that we have believed this, well, we are a Christian nation. But there is actions behind that thought. To be a Christian nation is to be Christ-like. May I say this? We can never be a Christian nation when we allow abortion to happen. Jesus Christ would never, ever sanction abortion. He would never okay evolution. He would never okay immorality, and we have it running rampant in our society today. He would never okay it. We find that we want to be called a Christian, but do we have that testimony of being Christ-like? What a great testimony to have, that he had a testimony with God. That should be our desire. That should be something we desire to accomplish. He had this testimony. Let's go to verse 5 there and read it. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony. That he pleased God. That he pleased God. You ever been to a restaurant and you walked in and the host or hostess took you to a table? They gave you a menu. They asked you if they could bring you some water or some coffee or something to drink. And you said yes, and you told them what you would like. And a few minutes later, somebody came over and put the liquid in front of you and said someone would be coming by later to take your order. And you're sitting there, and people are being served. And you're watching as people are eating. And you're watching waiters and waitresses go back and forth. And you're sitting there with the menu, and you're sitting there with your water or maybe with your coffee, and you're waiting. Now, if you're like me, I begin to ask Donna, are you ready to go? Now, I'll be honest with you. Are you ready to go? They've forgotten us. And she goes, be patient. She'll say, well, you'll just have to wait someplace else. About that time, I'm not going anyplace else. I'm going home. But have you ever been to a restaurant like that? Where it suddenly seems like they have forgotten you. And, you know, you try to flag somebody down and they all know how to not look at you. Right? And nobody wants to have anything to do with you. Are you pleased? No. Wouldn't it be sad if God wasn't pleased with us? Do you believe that Christians, do you believe that people get to the point where they know how not to look at Christ? They ignore him? Sure. But we find that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. That should be our desire, to please God. To please God. But this is the phrase that we want to look at, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. James wrote, faith without works is dead, being alone. We need to have faith, and we need to have faith that shows our love for God. I put this down in my notes. Do you have faith in Christ? To have faith means that you trust him and you're not trusting money. And yet, what do we trust in America? We trust money. We trust knowledge. We trust good looks. We trust many different things. But the fact of the matter is, we need to trust God. Do you remember when we had Mel and Kelly Sharp here? And they were here for about 4 years, and they then let us know that they were going to go to Glastonbury, Connecticut. And he was going on faith in the Lord. He had gone out and he had gotten some churches that were going to help him, and he went out by faith. Just like missionaries go out, they go by faith, that those churches that have made a commitment will follow through. How many of you would be willing to go to Connecticut with nothing in your pocket, really, but faith that somebody was going to support you while you started a Bible-believing Baptist church? That took faith, didn't it? You can say amen on that. It took faith. It took faith. I have here a number of people that our church has either helped support or you know, and I'll say this, the Newburgers to New York City to start a church. How would you like to start a new church in New York City? Yes. It took faith for them to go. I mentioned the Sharps, the Glastonbury, Connecticut. We think of the Snowds to Wooster, Ohio. We know those people in Ohio need the gospel. But the Snowds to Wooster, Ohio, the Knights to Marysville, Ohio, they went out with the desire to start churches. Took faith. We think of the Petys that went to Port Austin, Michigan, up there in the Thumb. Start a work up there. Took faith. We think of the Wilders that went to Olympia, Washington. Don and I met them by chance on a trip to Washington. And I told him, I said, our church will help support you as you begin that work there. We think of the Monts as they went to Winnemucca, Nevada. Winnemucca. Yes. They went out there by faith. We think of the Plentises that went to Dubuque, Iowa, the Fosters that went to Honduras, the Jacksons that went to Brazil. I think of Ted and Rosemary Madonna that came to Utica, Michigan. Amen. By faith. And they tagged me along if I liked it or not. How old was I when I got here to Utica, Michigan? 3? 2? Yeah, and you didn't listen to me, did you? By faith. Can you have that same type of faith? Absolutely. You can have that faith. I told you the story of the tightroper that walked a line across Niagara Falls. He walked across and he had the pole, and maybe you saw it, it was on television, and he's walking across with this pole, and he got to the other side and he came back, and he went back and forth a couple of times. Then he got a wheelbarrow, walked the wheelbarrow across. Then he got dirt and put it in the wheelbarrow, and walked it back 2 or 3 times. Do you remember me telling you the story? And then he got back one time, and someone on the side said, you could do that all day. He dumped the dirt out of the wheelbarrow and said to the speaker, you can do that all day. He said, get in. Get in. See, it's one thing to say you have faith. It's another thing to show you have faith by doing something. See, it's one thing to say, Lord, we want to have missionaries and we want to be a missionary-minded church. But it's another thing to be a missionary-minded church. I thank God for your faith in the Lord. I do. I thank God that you're here today. I'd be awful lonely if it was just Don and me. I would hope she would come. I thank God for your faith. I truly believe and agree with the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the believers at Philippi, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When it comes to giving to missions, we need to remember that the fruits are being gathered in. And someday, we are going to have it in our account that we gave. When we stand before the Lord of the universe, when we stand before the God of our salvation, when we stand there and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My only request this morning is this, that you earnestly and prayerfully seek the Lord's will concerning your faith promise commitment. That you make a commitment with the Lord, not with Paul Madonna, not with our deacons, but between you and the Lord. Our goal, as you know, is $64,000. In the overall scheme of things, that is not much. May I say this? Some of our celebrities earn a whole lot more than that just for a commercial. It's amazing how much money football players get to play a game of football. We're talking about $64,000 to give to missions as a family. $64,000. We need at least $62,628 to meet last year's commitment level. May we be willing to stretch our faith. May we be willing to say, "Yes, Lord." Number one, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to know him. You need to realize that without salvation, you're doomed and damned to hellfire. Then you need to come to know the Lord, or as you've come to know the Lord as Savior, you need to get baptized. That's to be a Christian, because Christ was baptized. And then you need to be committed. Committed to following after him. I've talked to pastors over and over who say this, it is getting harder and harder to get their people to be committed. To be committed. We need to be committed to the cause of Christ. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray about what the Lord would have you give. Maybe you'd like to come and get things right with the Lord. I'm not sure, but maybe there's something in your heart right now you need to take care of. We're going to sing number 17, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And when it comes to making a commitment to the Lord, we need to say, "Lord, your will, your way, not mine." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us an opportunity to be used in the sending forth of the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.